Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Gangs are a huge problem in Cape Town. It's very trite to say that, but it is a big, big problem, has been for a long time, and it doesn't show much evidence of being brought under control. The fact that we have effectively zero crime intelligence and that we have a factionalized and inefficient police force doesn't help matters, of course. And it is a huge problem for families that live in areas where gangs are rife, where gangs are often looked up to by communities because the gangs bring them things that governments don't bring them. And there are a lot of, particularly mothers, but some fathers as well, that try their best to prevent their children from getting into gangs. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, they don't succeed. But what about getting out of gangs? I was fascinated to learn that a researcher at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London, Darius Jashansky, has been having a look at what strategies work for getting out of gangs and has actually written about it. Joins us now via Zoom. Darius, a very good afternoon. I believe you're in Canada, so it's probably quite early morning there.
That's right, George. Thanks. Good to be with you. It is quite early, but nice to be on.
What are the strategies that you found to be successful?
So my research focused on something, a sort of subset of gang research called street culture. And so the idea is that, as you rightly pointed out, in communities that lack perhaps resources, community development, opportunities for empowerment, young people especially tend to look up to gangsters and gang members for what's called cultural capital. So respect, power, economic opportunities in the community. And so after, you know, years of potentially being in the gang, I think I became sort of interested in the question of, okay, so if you've been socialized into acting a certain way and pursuing a certain type of cultural capital, what do you do, especially in circumstances where, you know, you're living in a community that's segregated from the mainstream, doesn't have sort of mainstream opportunities for economic engagement in the same way that you know, the City Bowl would or other sort of more affluent communities in Cape Town would. What do you rely on? And generally, you know, people would juxtapose the gang life or the street life with what they called the normal life. And the normal life consisted of three main areas. Work was one of them for those that could get it. And work here was not just seen as sort of a financial mechanism, right? Something that would help them stay afloat economically, but actually something that would signal that they were serious about their exit, their rehabilitation and reintegration. The other thing that they focused on was family as well. Family is, you know, very practically a support system emotionally and financially, but also it's part of this performance of normality to signal to other people in your community that that you're serious about your reformation. And then finally, religion. And so religion, again, provides some of the same things as family does, as well as perhaps a moral compass in some way for those that look to it. But more than that, it's seen as, again, a way of signaling to your community and to potential foes that might still bear grudges, to allies that still might want you in the gang, and you know, to skeptical community members that you're serious about getting out. So those were the three main mechanisms.
Okay. And the people that did get successfully out, did you find that they had to apply all three mechanisms or two, or in many cases was just one, having one prominent mechanism kind of displayed in your cultural capital was enough to extricate one from the gang?
So I think the thing that's important to understand about gang exit, as I think any sort of transition for people that have tried to change their lives, is that, you know, it's not going to be the same as anybody else's. And so certain individuals lean more heavily on religion. Certain individuals lean more heavily on family. I think those were the two main components, just because work, and especially formal work and steady formal work, is so scarce. More people would be sort of just pushed into relying on informal mechanisms such as family and religion. But, you know, generally these were the three themes that came out. But in saying that each particular exit is individual in particular, I think the thing that's also important to note, in saying that is that it's not like you just connect to a, you know, reconnect with your family for those that have been perhaps, estranged from their family, or find a community of faith, or even if you're able to land a job, you know, you're embedded in these things and then suddenly you're out. It's a protracted and often circuitous route that you take. One that's fraught with all sorts of pitfalls and potential for backsliding. So steps forward, steps backward. And each of these obviously kind of, you know, every individual takes their own path along, you know, this combination of different resources that they use in order to navigate the normal life.
I think it's easier to understand what the pull factor is into getting into the gang life. It is a sense of belonging. It's a sense of purpose. It is the, you know, the clothes and the identification and the greater wealth comparative to what you would have outside of the gang. There are a whole range of fairly obvious factors that would make somebody, okay, I want to be in a gang. Were you able to isolate what are the factors that leads one to want to get out, so that does an attraction to religion start in the gang environment, and then the dissonance between having these religious thoughts and feelings and ideas and being in a gang pull you out of the gang with religion as your primary sort of assembly point, or how does it work?
So again, I think it's obviously particular to every single individual. But it's not something that I covered so much in the book, but I have written about it in another paper. And there are also pull and push factors that kind of predispose or over time come together to orient people away from street life. And so, you know, they become sort of disenchanted with the gang life, the things that they thought that it would bring them. Though they might have some power and respect, you know, they feel manipulated, they feel used. The riches that they thought that they would get becoming a drug kingpin obviously don't materialize for the vast majority of gang members, who are just low-level street soldiers that are obviously are often living at or below the poverty line. You know, often they have multiple sort of interactions with the criminal justice system. So long periods of time spent in incarceration away from their families, at which point they're often left to, you know, fend for themselves, joining prison gangs, but having very little in terms of financial support or social support from street gangs. Often it's just their families that come visit them or support them in prison. And so this kind of also reinforces that sense of disenchantment. They'll often have, very acute experiences with violence, themselves being targeted or perhaps having their families targeted, which adds to that level of disenchantment. And, you know, there's just a process of maturation, I think, that kind of underlies all of this, that people realize that it, as they get older, they look for other things. And as they look for other things, they realize that the gang life that they saw and the promises of gang life never materialized. And so these are the different factors that combine to try and, or to kind of orient them out of street life and into at least a beginning orientation in normal life.
Darius Jivanski, thank you very, very much for talking to us, a researcher at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. Of course, that was a fairly academic discourse, and there are literally thousands, tens of thousands of families, perhaps, who have a very real practical experience of what Darius was talking about there.